If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, Equipness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
Fucking okay,
let's roll it.
We'll get in the mood.
Oh yeah.
This is the strawberry.
Mm-hmm. You can't help but like want to dance when the song comes on, you know what I mean?
Yep. Is it locked? Nope. Just has a little issue, like we have to hit right in the middle. And just learn how to work it. You gotta find it, you gotta and then push.
Alright. What is up, everybody? This is Knife City of If Lands Could Kill, and as always, I have with me the hot sauce. How you doing, sauce?
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing fantastic. It's good to be back.
It is.
Can I say that? Is that like too fucking corny to say?
Yeah. Something like it's good that? To be back, gents.
Yeah.
It is. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
We had a little bit on Reich's wedding day. We had a little thing that you guys will hear sometime.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get a little snippet at the end.
Yeah, I don't know.
Another separate.
I don't know where we're going to put it, but it'll go somewhere.
Yeah.
And exciting. Speaking of Reich, we also have Reich with us. How you doing, Reich?
I am here, and I am back. I just flew in from Hawaii, and boy, are my arms tired.
Oh, man, you look tan.
Oh, man. But yeah, I just got back from my honeymoon a few days ago, and it was good. And
yeah.
I will definitely talk about it after our intros are over.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it now.
Let's just go right in. So Reich had his little wedding. Best wedding ever.
Yeah, probably the best wedding I've ever
been to. This is probably crap. Give me some credit, dude.
Well, you know, in the future, I might, like, go to, like, Batman's wedding.
You know. You never know. Bruce Wayne?
Springsteen? Like, the boss?
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, the boss.
If he marries Bruce Springsteen?
Oh, man, that would be the most amazing.
That would be, like, slightly better than Reich. But, yeah, best wedding ever.
If that day ever comes.
Yeah, if that day comes. But, yeah, no, the wedding went awesome, because I planned like 1% of it, and my wife did the other 99%.
It was pretty much your side of the wedding party was the podcast and your brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was awesome.
Which was nice.
On the dance floor, that was badass shit.
Yeah, we closed out that fucking wedding. Like, we were there until the DJ had to pack up, pretty much. And we had the whole dance floor just all to, like, all the friends and the podcast.
All to ourselves. Everyone else was intimidated by our dance moves.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, we should just leave. I think
they're having too much fun to leave.
They don't need us here.
Dude, at like 9 or 9:30, like, you know, I was talking to somebody outside. I walked in and there's like no family left. Like, it's just all friends, all drunk friends.
We had the blinders on just for our friends. No one was just talking to anybody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the way it goes. That's how we kind of plan it. We assume like a lot of people probably left it by like 9:30, 10. And then just fucking party down for the rest of the time. But yeah, that was actually, that was a lot of fun. And then after that, we ended up going to Hawaii, to Oahu, my wife and I, for our honeymoon, which was a ton of fun. Fucking, I was kind of worried because they had two hurricanes that went by Hawaii just like a few days before we got there. And so I thought the shit was going to be just like completely thrashed and just messed up. But I guess I talked to one of the local guys there. He said, yeah, they didn't like really feel it at all because it hit the big island and then kind of just missed them. It was just like a little bit of rain on their side. So like, that kind of worked out for us. But yeah, we hit up all the touristy stuff. Like, we ended up renting a fucking red Mustang convertible.
Nice.
Fucking drove around in that bad boy. And I had my fucking corny ass, like, $5 Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Fucking Hawaiian hat. And,
Hawaiian hat?
Well, not Hawaiian. I just bought a hat that said Hawaii on it. You know?
that's pretty corny.
We're here right now.
Yeah, I'm going to give your hat to all of
them. I just bought it now.
Yeah, exactly.
I just bought it at the ABC store right across the corner. But, no, they have these, like, ABC stores. There's, like, their general store. It's, like, a 7-Eleven and, like, gift shop, like, all wrapped up in one. And they're fucking everywhere. They're literally like every corner. There's these ABC stores, and they sell like everything from.
They probably
like,
sell a shit. They probably make a bank because everyone there's a damn tourist.
I think we spent more money at the ABC stores than we did like anywhere else the whole vacation, pretty much. Like, because we went to those stores like maybe like 7 times in like the 4 days we were there.
You could never have too much Chex Mix.
Yeah, you can't have enough like beef jerky, Chex Mix, and like fucking water.
Hawaiian hats.
And Hawaiian hats and shirts and all that stuff. But yeah,
you guys got laid, right?
Oh yeah. As soon as we walked into the hotel, bam,
Oh, lane. Man, they're so friendly.
I know.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, exactly. Right in the hotel.
Right in the hotel entrance.
Let me get your bags. Okay, and let me get a little of that cornhole. I'll be gentle.
They're not going to souse.
Yeah,
no, it was a lot of fun, and weather was awesome. We did all the super touristy stuff. Like, I'm sure locals could pick us out from, like, a mile away, because we're fucking driving this bright-ass red Mustang top down, like, you know, fucking wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, fucking mainland.
There's just this, asshole. Like, big arrow that says, like, rob me.
Take my shit. Rob me. Yeah, pretty much. Like, there's signs everywhere saying, like, do not leave any valuables or anything, like, you don't want stolen in your car.
It's sick that you have a fabric top to protect your valuables.
Yeah, also, I was like, oh, that's what we just, like, just left everything in the hotel room. Like, fuck, I'm not bringing anything with me, just in case. Because I guess petty theft's, like, rampant over there or whatever. But, no, we hit, like, Pearl Harbor. We fucking did, like,
we hit Pearl Harbor. One of the best choice of words ever.
Too soon.
We didn't tell you what else we rented.
Yeah, we didn't tell you about all the zeros. And
yeah, exactly.
Stuff
exactly.
We rented, but no, we toured Pearl Harbor. And, like, we hiked up Diamond Head and, like, did snorkeling and just all that. It was funny because we went snorkeling the second day we were there, because we flew in on a Thursday, and then the next day went snorkeling. I fucking just got the worst sunburn on my back and my back and my legs because I'm floating in the water with my face down the whole time, right?
It's deceiving, but yeah, like, reflection of water will fuck you up.
Yeah, because you feel like you're out there for, like, 20 minutes, like, okay, I'll come back and, like, put more sunblock on or whatever, but it's like you're out there for, like, 2 hours and you even know it. And, like, I come back, like, later that night, I look like a fucking, like, lobster on my back. I'm, like, all two-tone right now. Like, my back's all, like, tan and my front's, like, just white as can be. It's hilarious. But, no, we did all that and, you know, tour the island. We got to drive up to the North Shore and it was actually really fucking awesome. Like, I'd love to have, like, 3 more days there than we did. We were only there for, like, really 4 days in total. But, unfortunately, we didn't get to see a waterfall. It was the only thing we didn't get to do that we wanted to do that was on our
list. Did you have, like, a lot of waterfalls to go check out?
There was, like, a few. There was this one called Manoa Falls that was kind of, like, 25 minutes out of Waikiki. But we did the Diamond Head hike, and we're going to do the other hike to the waterfall. It's about, like, an hour hike to get to the waterfall. But we're just too tired after that, so we just went on the beach and fucking drank Mai Tais and fucking laid out and swam in the water and stuff.
Did you guys party in Honolulu a little bit?
We didn't go to any clubs in Honolulu, but we did go to a lot of the restaurants and stuff and checked out, like, all the shops and stuff. But, like, we were just too tired because, like, we were behind or ahead 2 hours, like, 3 hours, right, in San Diego. So, like, 9 o'clock there would be, like, 12 our time. And so we were, like, by 9 o'clock, we're already kind of, like, winding down, getting tired. And, like, most people are already starting to go out at 9. But we had a lot of fun just doing regular shit, just the touristy stuff. I definitely recommend going there if you haven't been to Hawaii. To Honolulu. But I will probably, if we go back to Hawaii again, I'll probably go to, like, one of the, either the Big Island or one of the smaller ones where it's, like, more laid back and chill and not so many, like, tourists and shit.
Yeah, Oahu's, like, where everyone lives, too.
So yeah, that's, like,
there's a clash between, like, people that live there and then, like, the fucking mainlander bitches like we are.
Yeah, but we did do the fucking luau, which is fucking awesome because this place, this company went through, they have their own fucking, like, luau on the beach, like, on the west coast. And so it was just, like, fucking, like, we got to see the sunset there, and, like, they had all, like, the fire dancers and, like, the hula dancers and stuff.
That's cool.
Did you get pretty hammered?
Yeah, I got pretty good.
Did they cook the pig, like, bury it?
They did the fucking, where you have the pig underground, like, so it's, like, an underground oven and, like, the hot rocks and stuff, and then we got to see them, like, take it out, like, pick up the fucking, like, burning hot rocks with their bare hands and, like, throw them out and shit. It was fucking awesome. Stuff. Yeah, like, they fucking, like, they didn't want to do it, but, like, oh, we got to fucking grab these rocks out of here. But it was a ton of fun, but, yeah. I would like to go back again.
Sounds like a great time.
Yeah, it was good.
Gotta say. Right. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's pretty much it. Now I'm just glad to be back in San Diego, though. It's like the weather was nice there, but it's just so humid. I just fucking, you're sweating just the whole time.
Dude, we've had, like, probably 2 solid weeks here where the weather's not been bad. Weather's been, like, pretty damn nice in San Diego.
Yeah, it was humid there for a hot minute.
Yeah,
I just need to get back on the magic train because I haven't, like, the past, like, 3 weeks pretty much, I haven't, like, touched any magic, really.
You're like, I'm part of a podcast. Yeah. Get back to reality.
I gotta know shit.
Yeah, I gotta, like, get prepared for this. Like, I don't know shit right now.
Well, we picked up your slack. Yeah. Not.
Yeah. We totally studied the whole time you were gone, but our dog ate our homework.
Oh, man.
So what's up, Sauce? What's
going on? Lately, let's see. First of all, I went to Vegas for a bachelorette party,
woo!
Which makes no sense, right?
Yeah. But
there was myself and my roommate and another guy, and we went up the day after the girls went up. The girls, the wedding's strange because she's not very girly.
She's more like one of the guys.
She's like one of the guys. It's real strange. Yeah. Like, when we went out there, there was no, like, lingerie or, like, fucking dick stuff, you know what I mean? basically, we go out there the morning after we get – when we get up the next day, whatever, after a whole drinking and gambling up to like 2 in the morning, we rented – myself, the girl getting married, and one of the bridesmaids, we rented supercars. So I rented a Ferrari F430.
Oh, shit.
With a paddle shift. They don't sell any – they don't let you rent any manual transmission cars. Oh, yeah.
Fuck that transmission.
I've heard one company say that – every single manual transmission car they've ever owned for rent or whatever has been crashed. They say they've never owned a manual car that didn't get crashed. Because people think they can drive a manual, which is fine, then they do. But then they go around a turn in a 500, 600 horsepower car. They fucking shift a second, and the back end comes loose, and they have no idea what the hell to do about it. You know what I mean? People get, oh, yeah, I drive my my 250 horsepower car all the time manually. You know, no big deal. I never get squirrely or whatever. I can control it. And they get in this fucking Lamborghini, 560 horsepower, whatever, and then everyone crashes.
Yeah.
So anyways, I rented an F430. Chick getting married rented a Lamborghini Gallardo LP560 for the car nerds out there. It is a rear-wheel drive model, not the all-wheel drive. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then the other girl rented an F430 also.
Nice.
So it was fucking badass. And you get to go on a racetrack.
How long did you guys have the car? Just
seven laps around a racetrack as fast as you want to go. Like, the guy's in the passenger seat. He tells you how to do everything, and you want to refuse. Or he's like, don't break it, don't break it. Stay on the throttle. There's no, like, when you're driving, when you want to learn how to do this stuff, whatever, you're full throttle, and then you want to, like, back off the throttle when you're getting near the turn, and then kind of, like, hit the brake after a while. This thing is, like, you're either on the throttle the whole time or on the brake the whole time. There's no, like, in between.
There's no, like, coasting,
act.
Like, a little bit.
No, there's
bit.
No coast. That's the thing, is that you kind of want to coast to get yourself, like, kind of squared and ready for the braking, but you don't.
Yeah.
You have to slam on the brakes. The back end gets, like, squirrely and shit. You enter the corner, and once you hit the apex of the corner, which is the middle of the corner, they want you to fucking,
like, slam on
the
gas.
Slam on the gas. And you're like, I don't want to. I don't want to.
I'm scared. I don't
yeah,
know.
Absolutely. 500 horsepower. I'm like, I don't want to yet. This is crazy, you know? I drive a WRX normally, and that's like – it's a fine car. It's a fine automobile.
It's a fine-ass
car. But it is not a supercar, and this thing was batshit crazy.
That's awesome. You got seven laps.
Seven laps. Did up to like 118 miles an hour. That's like short. It's not a big course. So you – I mean, the cars can do like 190, but you can't.
Yeah. Anything.
So – but they let you just do whatever the fuck you want to. You can just – yeah, you can just beat the shit out of it, and they're like, cool. You know, have at it. They're just telling you to push it harder, and I'm like, I don't want to. This is crazy, dude. So we did that. They have a lot of cars there too, but the price range that we were at, we couldn't get anything more expensive. More,
yeah, I got it. It's gonna be pretty penny already just to rent those.
Yeah, so we did that. We're gonna play paintball after that. You can tell what kind of girl this is if we're playing paintball. But we were all like too exhausted. We only got like 4 hours sleep the night before, and we're hungover. So we're like, no, we can't do it. I think it was indoor paintball. So
okay,
not like
I was gonna say like yeah, you're at like 105 degree weather.
It was no Vegas was 100. Yeah, it was 105 to 110 all week.
Yeah.
All weekend.
That sounds like Vegas.
Unless you're inside the hotel, whatever.
That's a dry heat though. That's what they say. It's just a dry heat.
It's fine. A dry heat. No
it's
fine. Deal.
It just feels like an oven when you walk out of the fucking casino.
It does. It tastes terrible.
You're walking into an oven.
Fuck, dude. But yeah, we did that kind of shit, and that was pretty awesome. And the next thing I was going to say is that I got this coworker, right? Next topic. We got this coworker. This guy's like 6'4". Motherfucker's like 285 pounds. Like Peppermint Swirl's build, but a little bit bigger. He's sleeved up. He's got a shaved head with a fucking beard, and he's got like an attitude. The guy is like, he's a tough guy, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm driving, so anyways, I meet him. We're chit chatting a little bit, and then we're sitting in the car driving to work, or on site, and he's in the passenger seat, and I'm driving, and his fucking cell phone text message ringtone goes off, and it goes ding 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 ding. Which is the Pokemon level up sound in the DS, game, you know, 3DS, and it being Game Boy versions and shit. And I look over him, I'm like, the fuck was that? Like, are you serious? That Pokemon?
I know that.
Yeah, he's like, is that Pokemon? And he's like, oh yeah, boy. And then now we're like good friends. Now
that like just that little icebreaker.
He pulls up his fucking he always wears long sleeves. He pulls up his long sleeves. He's got like a Pokeball tattoo on his arm and shit. I'm like, you deceiving bastard.
You silly motherfucker.
You think he's just gonna be this tough guy or whatever, which he kind of is, but at the same time.
Yeah.
So anyways, we talked about it, and I told him about Magic and that we should play. And then he talked about Pokemon because he plays a Pokemon trading card game, and so he wants to play. So I'm like, well, fuck it. So I actually bought the starter, like a starter deck, whatever, kind of the same thing that we have for Magic, for Pokemon, on the way to Vegas. Right? So I had like, I was making the joke. I was like, I should go ahead. I'm going to, in a Target and on the way to Vegas, I'm going to buy the Pokemon starter set. And then I bought a magic booster. And then I should buy a box of condoms. And
see what, they, see what the guy says.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because it's just, this doesn't add up, right?
You can find like one of the young cashiers.
Yeah, yeah. But I did tell her, I'm like, yeah, we're going to Vegas.
It's okay. Yeah. We're going to Vegas.
Yeah, this is Vegas. Oh, yeah, it's beef jerky too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I got the starter deck. And it's a very, for who hasn't played it, it's a very simplified version of Magic. I guess Pokemon was owned by Wizards of the Coast when it started, I guess. Yeah, that's what I heard. I have nothing to confirm that. But I heard that's how it started, and then it got bought out by somebody else or some shit, or they bought themselves out. I have no idea. So the game's a simplified version of it, and one of the cool things is they have a Duels of the Planeswalker type online scenario where it's not like serious. It's not like Modo. They have like instructions and like basic tutorials, and they have kind of like play the computer type stuff, just like Duels of the Planeswalkers is. When you buy a starter set, you get like a QR code, and it gives you that same starter deck on the online service for free. So I was able to just like learn how to play for free. Well, I mean, I got the cards, but I mean, still, I got to like play by
myself.
You don't
have to pay like $10 to like sign up for the
online. Yeah, no, absolutely not. It was just like a free program, and then I just inputted that, and that was it. And so that was kind of cool. But so I think I'm going to start playing casually, a little bit of Pokemon casually.
Yeah, hey, you know, it doesn't hurt. Anyways, branch out a little bit.
What you got, Knife? What you got?
Well, I actually ended up getting a new job not that long ago. When M14 was coming out, like right before it came out. Like,
M15.
I lost my job, and I was like, I was upset because I got bills. You know, I had some money saved up, but I was like, I'm not going to be able to like buy any new shit, and that's very concerning to me.
Magic shit, he means.
Magic shit.
Not like just like TVs and
stuff. Cancel cable, candlelight.
Yeah, we don't need electricity.
Actually, those candles are damn expensive. We don't need
that. Sunlight's free.
Yeah.
No, but, I was unemployed for like a month or two, and then I ended up getting this job. And at this place, I kind of do like a little bit of everything. And I
turn in tricks.
Yeah, turn exactly. In anything. If you haven't heard of it, it's you can't afford it. So this I was introduced to most people, but like there's a clothing section of the place. I don't really go over there, and like I don't really talk to the cashiers.
I don't
or
really wear clothes.
So
I don't know.
I'm like, what? Underpants?
Woman's underpants.
So one of the cashiers, this girl, she's a redhead, so already I'm kind of like, okay, you know.
And it's filled up with blood.
getting flopped, and she's kind of cute, whatever. So I was like going into the back room, and like you know how it has like the hangy down plastic things, like in Vons or
the plastic strips.
So like, you know, I was walking in, and I held it open for her. She walked in, and I was like, oh, hey, by the way, my name's Corey. And she's like, oh, my name's, you know, whatever the hell her name is.
Yeah.
And I was, like, really focused on, like, eye contact, you know, like, trying to keep good
we're air quotations around eye contact.
Yeah.
And so we went to go, like, shake hands, and we misjudged where our hands were, and we ended up doing, like, this warrior forearms awkward shake.
Gillian, goddammit.
Like, we were, like, yeah, and we both just totally ignored the fact that it happened, and, like, we just, like, walked away. Like, we didn't acknowledge it. We're just like, yep, that's an awkward handshake, and we're gone. And then, like, yeah, it was laughed about it afterwards, but during, it was very, very awkward.
Yeah, the blood went back to your fucking heart.
Went to my face.
Yeah, the blood went to your face. Yep, it went from a fucking Audi to an Innie. Yeah.
So that story is like the story of my life right there. Like that's what it is. Like, you know, I got like this image in my head of how things are gonna go, and then it goes like totally horrible, awkward, and like not.
I'm gonna fuck it up. Dude, you're gonna be fine. you fucked it up.
You did it.
So yeah, that was funny, but
that's hilarious.
Yeah, I've been working and fuck, what the hell else have I been doing?
Any games?
My life. Games? Not really. You know what I've been looking into that I want to get is this game called 1001 Spikes. And it's like this it's like this side scroller kind
of. It's a platformer, right?
It's a platformer and you know, you like shoot your little gun or throw knives or some sort of projectiles, but the whole thing is you get 101 lives to beat the game, and it's just like this.
Isn't it like a trolley game? Like this fucking just shit that kills you everywhere?
Yeah.
It's like you don't think it's going to be there, and it's like, fuck you, it's
yeah,
not there.
I don't know if you've... I was talking to Hot Sauce about it earlier, but there's this video called, like, the hardest game ever, or, like, the most difficult game ever. Anyways,
it should be... It's the impossible game.
Impossible game or something.
Is it the one with the little square,
like,
and you jump...
No, not the square one. It kind of looks like Mario, almost.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking
about.
And
the guy's, like, you know, he jumps up, and, like, a spike shoots him in the eyes, and he's like, okay. He, you know, misses the spike, and then, like, he goes to jump on a brick, and, like, the brick just disappears.
he's
getting madder and madder and madder until finally, like, you know, he finally gets his way through, and he, like, gets to the end. And there's, like, he's like, oh, finally, I got to the end. And then this rocket comes out of nowhere and just explodes. He's just like, what the fuck?
Game to piss you off, like, rage quit game.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that, but not so hard and, you know, dickish. Pretty much it's just one of those games where you have to learn what's the terrain and what's coming up.
Stalls around the next corner.
Yeah, and then once you learn that, then it's, you know, then you move on to the next level. Hi.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
I can tell.
Hi.
Bye. So anyways, me and Raheem, he came over and played some Call of Duty, and then we were eating some food, and we just watched the stream of this guy, and it sounded like the game had just started, and he had never played it before. So he'd just be, like, walking along, and then all of a sudden Spike would shoot him in the fucking ass. And he'd just be like, oh, what the fuck? And it was like, fun to watch. Because most streams, like, unless you're, like, really into it, you know, they're not, like, fun to watch. Usually I watch Magic because I'm into it. Or I check out a stream just because I want to see, like, what this game is like. And I usually get annoyed by whoever's playing.
Yeah.
Or I just don't find it entertaining. But this was just, like, entertaining to watch.
Magic is a great thing to stream because it's like you expect, you know, it's going to be just one little round. Where if you're watching a video game that has a campaign, like, you're just going to fall in the middle of it, not know where the hell you're at.
Yeah, if you don't come in on the beginning and, like, religiously watch that same person, like, play through it, and it's like,
exactly.
You might as well just go buy the game yourself.
It's going to be like in the middle of some combat sequence, and you're like, I don't even know what gun that is. I don't know if it's better. I don't know if it's near the end, at the beginning. You have no idea. But Magic or, like, League of Legends or games of this of that nature, they all have this. I'm going to sit down. Cool, 20 to 30 minutes, I'm going to be done. Don't want to watch another one? It's like an episode. You know,
yeah, exactly.
So that's the best way to watch, I think.
And the only other game I've been playing lately is... I always try and search for, like, good cell phone games. Like, a good, like, RPG or something. Like, not like a shooter or side-scroller, but just, like, a nice little RPG. And so I found one called Tiny Dice Dungeon. And
sounds awesome already.
And, you know, it's, like, very hard to find a game that doesn't have microtransactions, but it seems like you can do it without...
Well, on the phone, yeah.
Yeah, possible. Yeah, on the phone. But it seems like you can get through the game, like, without the microtransactions. But basically, it's a mix between, like, I don't even know, like, Pokemon, kind of, because you, like, get monsters and try and, like, capture them and stuff when you're fighting against them. But the whole thing is, like, it's based off of, like, dice rolls. So on most of the dice, like, if you roll a 1, then your attack misses and you can't attack. And then it goes on the next person in your party or, you know, the opponent. But if you roll, like, a 2 through 6 on most dice, then it just counts towards your attack power. Then there's other dice, like multiplier dice, where you can just roll a 1 or 2. Or, like, poison counter dice. And
it sounds pretty badass, actually. Is it, like, Google Play Store? And
yeah, Google Play Store. It's free. And... And also, like, you can roll the dice as many times as you want. So it's like you're kind of gambling, like, am I going to roll a 1?
Because if you want to get – does it say that it's like whatever number you roll that first time?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, I can re-roll it for a better number?
No. It all adds up.
Okay,
so you roll a 2 and a 2, so 4, and then you roll a 6 and a 6. Okay, then that's
– 16.
16.
But then you roll 1 and it's all goes
And then
away.
You roll 1 and then it all goes away. You can't attack. It goes on the next thing. So that's kind of cool. But, yeah, I've been playing it and it, like, can keep my attention for quite a while. You know, it's all cell phone games. I don't expect or nor do I want to play them for more than, like, a half hour. You know, it's usually like, oh, my girlfriend's watching something on TV that I don't give a shit about. So I'm just gonna, you know, play this game and.
And plus half hour shits. We all, myself yeah. and
that's
and
why my, that's the main time I play.
Rick,
games.
Rick, are you a half hour shitter?
I'm good, like 15, 20.
15, 20 is yeah. a pretty good amount.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm definitely I'm a half hour shitter. Like I have to like. Scrape the shit off my ass.
Because it just dries up.
Yeah, it just dries up. But yeah. it's okay because you just got to get the magazine time in and
yeah.
the game time, 3DS or whatever else, cell phone.
I think I took a half hour shit this morning. I just had nothing to do. It was my day off. Just sat on the toilet and just hung out for a while. You know? It was nice.
Let it all hang out, B-Rai.
yeah. So,
That sounds pretty cool, though.
Oh, and you know what? We failed to mention we are going to be without Quickness for a while. He's taking a sabbatical from the cast, so hopefully he comes back whenever he can. So
absolutely,
yes, for sure.
It's like he's in the hospital. Best wishes. Best wishes.
Yeah. yeah,
we'll send you flowers. For the most part.
Exactly. No, but really, though, we do hope he gets back. I hope yeah. he listens to this episode. And
yeah, wish you were here.
Yes, indeed.
So let's go ahead and jump into. We don't. You know what we don't talk about on this cast is like top eights, deck lists. Like other podcasts, I listen to them. They talk about, this recent, Star City Games Open, you know, the top eight was this and this and this, and oh, how interesting, and blah, blah, blah. We never talk about that.
Because we're not, everyone wants to win, right?
Yeah.
But we're not the type, necessarily, that just has to have Mono Black Devotion. We actually, none of us have ever built Mono Black Devotion.
No.
You know, Quickness built Mono Blue Devotion.
Right.
I think he probably still has it, actually.
Yeah, he still has it.
But that's it. We're kind of into just fucking around, you know what I mean? And we like using interesting cards and cards that like read real nice, but maybe don't have a home necessarily. Like you like your Waste Knot. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
You actually got to use like Primeval Bounty.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that for the Enchantress stuff. And then what's that? The one that you can't attack.
The Spear of Safety.
Spear of Safety. Like that's not in top eight.
No, that's not anywhere.
Who's in top eight with that? But it's fun.
Yeah, we like to play like
weird, janky, kind of fun. Kind of
like,
competitive.
You know, decks like, that are on two. The outskirts. Yeah, tier 2 decks.
Tier 2 decks we're all about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, maybe 1.5 every now and then. Like, I have a one, like a tier, kind of tier 1, not anymore.
It was tier 1, though,
it
basically.
Was tier one
it
for
was red
a little
green
while.
Monsters, yeah.
For, like,
yeah, you don't really
two.
See red green monsters that much
but,
anymore.
Because it's
top
always
eight.
Splashing black.
Yeah, it's all Jund monsters. But I don't even think Jund monsters. Anyways. But yeah, we're all about the tier 2 and tier
yeah.
1.5 decks.
So, what the fuck is today?
Today is the 22nd of Friday.
So yesterday, actually I don't know if this was yesterday, but sometime in the recent past, they had the World Cup World Magic Cup qualifier. Holy shit, that's a lot of words.
Seashells by the seashore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So pretty much I think, I'm not sure exactly how all it works, but each country has like their qualifiers. And then whoever wins goes on to represent the country or, you know, the top
yeah,
two or
I think
top
they,
four.
They give them a flight and hotel and something yeah. else.
I'm actually trying out for Papua New Guinea.
You know, I'll go with you.
I think there's only, like, you know, two people that'll play.
Yeah. Out of Papua New Guinea. It's your best chance.
Yeah. Like, I got to get on that pro tour.
So they just had the United States qualifier. So let's talk about what's in the top eight. Of course, what deck do you think is number one?
The most. So you're going to see it everywhere now, right?
Yeah.
Or you probably are seeing it everywhere.
Yeah, especially.
It made a splash at the Pro Tour, and
yeah.
from there it took off.
It's like the Boss Sly.
I don't
remember the Boss Sly? That was the mono red aggro one from like 4 months ago.
Oh,
or whatever.
Okay.
So
I didn't know that.
Someone who actually they got first place with that also.
Okay.
Fuck bitches up.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I see this deck all the fucking time on MTGO now in the practice rooms. But we have Rabble Red.
Rabble.
So this is like that. It's like the mono red deck, but just
a little. It's got a little changes on there.
It's got a little changes. Obviously, some new cards, but just a lot more fucking creatures. it's running. This was Isaac Sears Rabble Red. He took first. And Ash Zealots, of course. I mean, that card is
you cannot
just
play. Yeah. If you're playing red and you're in this standard right now, you cannot not play
four of those.
Four of Ash Zealots, because they are
the mono. Mono red is just ridiculous, you know, especially with Ash Zealot. We also have.
She's kind of hot, too.
Yeah, she is. Kind of cute. Got a crush. And where would a mono deck red Where would a mono red deck be without Burning Tree Emissary? He's running four of those. And that's just, dude, when you go Burning Tree, Burning Tree, Ash Zealot, like, fuck.
Disaster.
Disastrous.
And then turn one, Foundry Street Denizen. Does he have any of those?
Yeah, he's running. So in the one drop, it's four Foundry Street Denizens. And so turn
because
two.
That's what I'm saying. It's for
turn two, Burning Tree, Ash Zealot.
I'm more of a fan of the Burning Tree, Fire Fist Striker. That's my jam. That's how I like to play out my Burning Trees.
Anyway, that first guy, you're attacking the first four guy on turn two.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a 4-1 till end of turn, so.
I actually had to look up Fire Fist Striker.
He's the guy where it's a battalion where if you have him and two other guys attack.
Can't block.
Creature can't block, yeah.
Yeah, which is great amazing. For a turn two, turn three, turn four. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do they run any of those goblins, those one drop goblins? The ones that you can pay one mana?
Of course you
do. Legion Loyalists?
No.
That's another one.
Oh, the one that can't block?
Yeah, I think after rotation, you're going to see from Mono Red's going to adapt the, I think they're like called like Ravaging Goblin or something like that, where it's a, I think it's a 1/1, but when it attacks, you can pay one red mana and you can
target creature
cannot block.
How sick would that be if you could like pay as many reds as you wanted to?
That's what I thought at first, and then earlier on Moto, actually, you were playing it, and you can only do it once.
Yeah, but I think that, like, when Fire Fist Striker goes away, I think this guy's going to step up to the plate and be the guy that's going to actually allow damage to get through.
And Legion Loyalist is seeing some...
He's the badass shit.
Legion Loyalist, like, I bought that when it was, like, 25 cents or 50 cents or something like that, and now it's like, I don't know, it's up to a couple bucks now, but yeah, I wanted to play him so bad when I was playing my red deck, but I just never get a chance.
That battalion reads real nice, real nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
People are like wasting, you know, you gotta like waste a downfall on that guy, you know what I mean, because he'll take over if he has, you got a lot of creatures out there, you got three or more, I think takes over. It's like everything gets like, what, first strike and something else, I forget what it reads exactly.
Trample.
First strike and trample.
And tokens can't block.
That's a lot for one mana, man.
Yeah, one mana haste. Also got Rakdos Cacklers, of course.
Fire Drinker Satyrs?
Fire Drinker Satyrs. Some Rebel Belt Makkas, I'm guessing just for the Blood Rush.
3/3 Blood Rush.
We'll probably see Titan Strength take that place once those rotate out, because that's Dragon Maze.
And then, of course, Goblin Rabble Master.
The Rabble. When no one saw coming. He was like a dollar card. Now he's like $6 or something like that.
Yeah, he's pretty nice.
At least on MTGO, he's pretty expensive right now.
Yeah. And then that helps out the Foundry Denizen because during combat, it comes out. Foundry Denizen goes up one. So it's just a big old fucking mess. And instance, we got Lightning Strikes and Stoke the Flames.
Stoke the Flames, amazing card.
It is. And you got a lot of convoke creatures out there.
Yeah,
you got a lot of creatures that you can convoke because just pumping them out.
4 mana does 4 damage to target creature or player, which 4 mana for that's like, man, that's not very good, but it's got convoke, and you got a bunch of dirtly shit out there, little 1/1s. Go ahead and tap those babies down and
Is it four mana?
Yeah. 4 mana. Jesus, it's 2 Christ. Red and 2 colorless. Yeah, that's okay, though, because you just tap,
yeah,
you know.
It's tough. Yeah.
They don't see it coming.
And then he has one Hall of Triumph in here.
Hall of Triumph for the +1/+1 for, what is it, goblins?
Red creatures. Choose a color.
Choose a color one.
What's the one that gives the creature type? I think it's something else.
That's the Door
of Destinies.
No, not that one. No, it's the
Obelisk.
Obelisk or whatever.
Oh, the Obelisk, yeah.
That's creature type gets +2/+2.
Okay, yeah.
That's a 6 mana, but it's got convoke. So, yeah, I mean, if this thing was a little slower, you could totally add in a couple of
cards. I like that one of Hall of Triumph. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, and of course, 3 Mutavaults.
Oh, the Mutavaults. Can't wait till they go away. They're too expensive.
The fuck, you know why? Not. Because sorcery speed. That's why.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Because, Supreme Verdict is a thing still. You cannot play a deck without Mutavaults, at least like 2 or 3.
Absolutely.
Supreme Verdict exists.
I'm running into this deck a lot online. And just Mutavaults in general online, and they're just fucking 2ing me, 4ing me to death.
It's a dick hair.
Yeah, it's a fucking total dick hair. Ow! And so I actually put 2 Quickens in my fucking sideboard for my discard deck, just so I can, like, drown in sorrow when the fucking...
when they activate them.
When they activate them. Because it's, like, a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Quicken. Well, that's why they're so expensive. That's why they were like $30 a pop, because everyone was running at least three or four of them in their deck. No matter what deck you were playing, you were running at least a few Mutavolts. Like, I mean, I don't think I honestly saw like a competitive deck that didn't run like two Mutavolts.
Why not?
You know, Red Green Monsters, where it's like, you know. Like,
you didn't really need them.
You didn't really need them. I mean, I didn't run them because they were so expensive, but I mean, most people were running like, you know, in the Jund Monsters were running like two Mutavolts.
You can't Banishing Light them. You know, there's all kinds of shit. You just like, you can't get rid of them, you know?
It's horrible. We hate them.
Anyway.
Can't wait to see them go.
Yeah.
And in second place, we have
Shocker. Double, please.
Black Devotion.
No, mono black.
Don't need to read on anything like that.
Don't really know.
I think we know what Well, actually, aren't they running one new card out of the new set?
Maybe.
Just kidding. None of that.
No.
It's all just gold. Just ass and
the past
awfulness.
6 months, they've just been splashing the green stuff. That's all. And they got.
Yeah.
They have like the.
One Golgari Charm for the like enchantments, I'm guessing, or the -1/-1.
Yeah, and regenerate. There's all. I mean, it's universal.
Yeah, it's a very. I mean,
it was already.
Versatile, not universal.
The mono black was already, or the Black Devotion, whatever you want to call it, was already so fine tuned, like you can't really squeeze anything else in there because you're going to be cutting something good.
Wow, he has two oozes and a Nissa in the sideboard. Huh.
Well,
interesting. Very interesting.
You probably didn't get to play him.
Nissa is something to talk about, though, for sure.
Ooze is still a key player.
I think. Ooze is going to see
Ooze
play
is so good.
In modern. It's still, I mean, it is seeing play in modern. Yeah. It's just a great card.
But
third place, oh my goodness, Black Devotion.
Oh, another Black Devotion.
Without. He's not splashing green.
Oh yeah, so you got Urborg or whatever is like one edition. Everyone's doing a one of that when you're playing black.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah, that's nothing special.
Just for your Mutavolts.
Yeah. Just for the Mutavolts. And then fourth place we got Jund Planeswalkers.
Jund Planeswalkers, actually like that.
Actually, it doesn't have the deck list for fucking this one.
Oh, that's good.
They run Chandra's Pyromancers. They run, I think, Vraska's.
Vraska's.
They run
Nissa's?
Some of them run Nissa's.
I think, yeah, well, like one or two Nissa's. Yeah,
I have not seen a Garruk in there, though.
No, the Garruks do not make the cut.
I heard that there's one in somebody's sideboard. That's it. That's all I've heard, is that in one of these top eights, there's one in somebody's sideboard.
Xenagos is even in there.
Xenagos is definitely there. Oh, no. Xenagos is like the badass shit.
Yeah. Xenagos is actually going to be. I feel like he's going to be a
good baller. That thing wins games, dude. I see a lot of like online videos of people playing it, and those 2/2 hasters, dude, they just do work, man.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Also, we got in fifth place, we got Blue Devotion. Dude, I can't wait. What? A Gale Rider Sliver.
Yeah, it's in place.
What?
It's because it gives Mutavolt flying.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
That's it, though. It's a 1/1 flyer, but it gets Mutavolt flying in that one
I wouldn't get rid of my Cloudfin Raptors in Mono Blue, though, for that. But, I mean.
And you're still running four.
Oh, does he still have Cloudfins?
Yeah.
He's got one Gale Rider.
Oh, one Gale Rider. Okay, never mind.
So, I can't wait to see.
Yeah, Mono Blue, like,
go away.
It's still going to be around, but I just.
After rotation, I think it's going to be shit.
Well, once they lose Rapid Hybridization and Cyclonic Rift, it's going to be tough.
They lose Night Veil.
Yeah, Night Veil
Spectres. They lose Frostburn. Mm-hmm. They lose Tidebinder.
Judge is familiar.
Cloudfin. That's.
Well, later on, we're going to talk about a new Mono Blue deck.
New Mono Blue.
That's gonna be post rotation.
Oh, good golly, Miss Molly, sixth place. We got Mono Black Aggro.
We've talked about this before, actually, though. When we're doing the aggro stuff, Mono Black is one of the ones we covered. It has
Mono. Actually, I don't mind Mono Black Aggro because it's more a fair of a deck than it is the Mono Black Devotion.
Except for Mogus's Marauder.
Well, Mogus's Marauder is a crazy good card, but it's still like. A fair deck.
It's doable,
in terms
right?
of, like, other decks.
You face it and you go, okay, all right.
Yeah, like, that's not as bad as just spewing pack rats and dot seizes.
Yeah,
and all
there's
that.
No pack rats. They got four pain seers. Good to see him have a home. And one Hall of Triumph. Nothing else, really.
Yeah, pain seer.
I like
top
pain
eight.
Seer.
What's up?
I like pain seer. That's like one of my top favorite black cards right now that's in standard. Besides, like, all the good stuff.
Not too bad.
Got another Jund Planeswalker did.
Yeah, seventh. We got another Jund Planeswalker list.
Oh, so Apex Predator right there.
One Garruk Apex Predator, two Chandra Pyromasters.
Yeah, Chandra Pyromaster is actually pretty good in this meta right now, just because there's a lot of like dirty 1/1s. Like, well, because Rabble Red's a thing, it really messes with them.
Dude, that's
hell
weird.
Yeah, it does. Picks them all off.
There's like a Planeswalker list, and it says other, and then there's more Planeswalkers.
Oh, that's strange.
Yeah.
What else we got? We got a lot of Planeswalkers.
Three, well, it's a Super Friends deck.
Yeah, three Nissas, three Xenagos, two Vraskas. Yeah, that's.
I love seeing Rakdos Return getting played too.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen Nissa been played too much. Like, I'm sure they get she's played.
I've been seeing,
I don't know how much of a house she is.
I've been watching. Oh my god, dude! I mean, like,
just that's, turning those lands into 4/4s. Ugh,
it's, you know, I was watching a couple people playing the Planeswalker decks, whatever. Uh-huh. And Nissa is the best Planeswalker in that deck. That thing is a fucking house and a half. You're right. The 4/4 Tramplers, they trade with everything, and you just keep making them. You know what I mean? Yep. You just keep making them, and it's amazing seeing those things go. So untapping the forests, because you play three colors, there's not a lot of that. Because you don't play a lot. Yeah. Even though you're playing the Shocklands, it's like it's just few and far between.
Yeah.
I've seen when they use that ability, you're getting one or two lands out of it.
Yeah.
Every time. There's no...
I think it's...
You think it's going to be four, but it's just not.
Yeah, that's definitely for a mono green strategy.
Right.
Yeah, they're just making those 4/4s.
4/4s is pretty good. Crazy, though. Absolutely crazy.
And then what's her ultimate? It's like...
you can search for any basic land in your deck, bring them out, and those are 4/4s.
Okay.
But yeah, so, this is pretty ridiculous.
I don't know why she's still carrying that $30 price card, but, I mean, she must be really good then.
Telling you, man. Every video I watch, I'm like, those 4/4 Tramplers. And then if the land is bound to turn, you know what I mean? Then it comes out with haste, basically. You know what I mean? Right. If that land was...
That's it. I have six M15 packs sitting right next to me. I think we need to crack them open right now to see if I got a Nissa in here.
So, yeah, that's...
That was at seventh place?
Yeah, that's an interesting list.
Yeah, I like the Vraskas, and I really like the Chandra Pyromasters
in this
deck. I want to mention one other thing. Oh, no, for the next one.
Go ahead. I was just saying that I was talking to Hot Sauce earlier that Vraska online has shot up in price to like $12, 12 tickets. And in paper, it's still like the same. You know, it's $5, $6, $7, $8 maybe. But... online, it shot up to 12, and I bought them when they were, six or
yeah, they were.
Whatever.
I think they were down like at $4 or $5 at one point when people weren't playing them
online. Possibly yeah.
Online, yeah. They never dropped like blood, like nine.
You know what?
Whatever,
I think they went down a little bit when the Vraska versus Jace thing. Jace versus Vraska came out.
Yeah, they dipped a little.
Both
bit.
Of those cards dropped down a little bit after that for that month or so.
But when I saw she was up to like 12 or 13, I fucking sold right away.
That's as high as it's gonna get online.
Oh yeah, and then as soon as rotation happens, I can pick them up for fucking like 4 tickets again. Yeah.
They're not. She's good. But she's just not modern playable.
Yeah,
good.
She's not going to see play anywhere else.
It's so funny being in this like this M15 moment where there's like all the planeswalkers.
Yeah, there's a
like
lot.
We just got six, and there was already like five or more or something like that. It's crazy.
Well, from the
more than that, because M14 had five.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's nuts, dude. Three Ajani's that are in standard right now.
It's ridiculous.
That's a lot of Ajani.
Yeah, but I ended up selling the Vraskas and got. I only had three. Because I usually only run three of the same Planeswalker in the deck. But I funded my drafting, and I ended up buying two fucking Garruk Apex Predators, because I'm guessing they're probably going to go up after rotation.
Yeah, once we see rotation, like, after we see, like, the three colors, like, cards, if it's going to be a slow format, I think seven mana is totally doable.
Yeah, that's what... So I wanted to mention the Pro Tour Magic 2015 one that went on. I think it was at Portland. And that's like the big mama, the big daddy, the big one.
Yeah, you have to be invited to this. You're not. Yeah. This is not like one where you just walk into. You have to actually qualify or be like a part of the actual pro scene.
And just to finish out the top eight, we had blue white control in eighth place. Who gives a fuck about that?
Yeah. That's the funny thing. I was going to talk about that though, because that's what won the Pro Tour 2015.
I feel
this phone out.
No.
Yeah,
get this out of here.
I feel so sickening.
A couple cool cards though. Are they playing a couple?
Well, it's the planar cleansing.
That's
style,
what I wanted
right?
to say exactly. That I wanted to mention the planar cleansing. He's where this motherfucker,
cocky motherfucker.
Ivan Flock is running three of the planar cleansings, which I think that's a cool card for some reason. I know it's a white, but like if you can get to seven, you like deserve to play it. I feel like sometimes you know it's a good card. And then he played four quickens.
Yeah,
which I want to see that. Why the hell not? You know what I mean? So. That was first place. The thing about that, if you guys have a chance, just go on the Magic YouTube or whatever else and watch the finals. The finals were badass. It was against Selesnya aggro deck, which played, I mean, all the standard stuff. Loxodon Smiters.
It's got the
lion,
the worm,
the worm,
armada worm. What the hell's the name of those worms? Anyways,
Advent of the Worm. So I played all that stuff. I played three of Johnny's, Called the Pride, Experiment One, Voice Resurgence, all the standard stuff, right?
Did it play any Cat Kings?
Was there any of the Cat Orest?
No.
It was actually surprisingly okay to watch. Like, it was a fair games between them.
Yeah.
It was just whoever got there first. And I only watched, like, a couple games because I fucking hate blue-white control because of quickness. Just play. He played a different list, but it's still blue-white fucking control, and it's just
we got destroyed by that many times.
I hate it. It stinks
against the aggro decks. Blue-white control deck plays two Archangel of Thunes and four Nyx Fleece Rams in his sideboard. It has like a crazy combo between them, which won him the final match. I really think it went like 2-2 down to game 5 to win it or something like that. And every time Nyx Fleece Ram on the upkeep, whatever, you gain one life, which gives everything a +1 counter.
From Archangel.
And then they had two Rams at one time, so then it triggered twice. So like the Rams ended up being like...
With the All-Star
five. They were like 5-10 Rams, or like 6-11 Rams. And they can attack, so they're not Defender. And the Archangel was gigantic. I mean, it was unstoppable once that combo went off. I think in his opening hand, he had a Ram and an Archangel, and he was just like, that's it right there. I'm keeping that, baby. And he got there, and I love the Rams. I think Rams are the coolest fucking things.
They're one of the coolest white cards that came out of Journey.
Yeah, so the list goes blue-white control took first, Slesnia aggro took second, then Jund took third, Orzhov control took fourth, Boros aggro took fifth, Jund again took sixth, Naya aggro took seventh, and Orzhov control again took eighth. I thought it was a real good pro tour. There's not a lot of new cards necessarily getting played, but I just thought it was real fun to see it. Even though we all kind of despise control.
Well, yeah, I mean,
blue players can kind of go suck one.
Control players are a different breed. Like, control players love playing control, and everyone else hates playing against control. That's how it works out to be.
It's good though. It's good. It's good.
That sounds. I wish I could have caught it, but I was too busy for that. But yeah, that sounds. I like the Nyx Fleece Ram. That is definitely a all-star card.
Indeed. So
was that in the sideboard and it brought it out?
Yeah, he had four Nyx Fleece and two Archangels. But in his opening hand, he had both, and so he brought them out. They didn't die. Combo went off and defeated anybody. I mean, no deck can take care of that, basically.
Horrible. Horrible, horrible.
So, cons.
Cons!
Con! Oh, I just watched the new Star Trek.
Yeah, I saw it too. I was like, eh.
It was not as good as the first one.
Not as good as the first one.
It was actually kind of forgettable, but it still was good. It was just kind of forgettable. So I watched another movie the same night, and it was like just this basic scary movie. Scary movie is much better than that. It was Oculus. Oculus is pretty.
Oculus Rift.
If you watch scary movie, no, not Rift. Don't do that. Don't do that. don't do that. Facebook. Don't do that. Go away from us. Yeah, no, Oculus is pretty badass. About some fucking mirror that is like haunted, and it's a stupid plot, but it actually turns out to be a really fucking good movie. So
interesting.
So yeah, cons. Let's get on to it. Con.
So. The news that just came out that we were all waiting for is the Tri-Lands. Or we were waiting just to see, like, what lands were going to come out.
Yeah, it's a wedge set.
So some people were hoping for, you know, fetch lands. Some people were hoping for this, hoping for that. Pretty much we just got Tri-Lands. They come in tapped, and you can produce one of three colors. That's it.
I'm telling you, an uncommon land.
Yeah, it's uncommon, too.
That produce different colors of mana is weird to me. You know, it should just be common or rare. It's weird seeing that.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to do it at common because Guildgates were like common. But I mean, this is an up from like one mana up from a Guildgate. So I understand to be uncommon makes sense. But I mean, they're still kind of cool. I mean, that's definitely Commander lands right there.
Do you think this is going to really like slow down the format? Because all we're going to have is Scrylands, Painlands, and these lands.
And the Tri-Lands. I think if
mana
nothing
confluence.
Else...
And Mana Confluence. Yeah,
Mana Confluence is still definitely a good card.
Sliver Hive.
We're losing all the good slivers, though.
I sold my Sliver Hive for sure.
That's only like a flash in the pan type deck right now, the slivers. Because once M14 goes away, it's like most of the good slivers are gone. But no, I mean, I think it's going to be slower than we're used to. Because we came in like the prime time, like shock lands. We even saw a little bit of the check lands. before it rotated
fucking,
out.
Like when Gatecrash came out, everything was so fucking fast.
Yeah, so we saw a lot of good. Like we've been used to, like the whole time our Magic careers, we've been used to good mana fixing. Like we haven't had a set or like an actual like rotation.
Shock lands have been like the bee's knees, bro.
And yeah. we had Buddy Lands.
Yeah, Buddy Lands. We've had all the good lands, and so I think once the shock lands rotate out, I think it will be a little slower. I think we're going to see more of like the two go, maybe go down to two color, like maybe mono color might make a splash for a little while until people start figuring out, you know, these wedge colors. Because I mean, so far what we've seen on the wedge colors, I mean, I haven't seen anything that's like crazy, like blowing my mind just yet.
Well, I mean, we haven't really seen much.
No, we haven't seen anything really at all. We've seen like maybe like five cards, six cards in total. But if there is something out there that, you know, where you're going to be running those three colors, then, you know, it's definitely going
to
be a slower.
I'm excited slower to see pace. Three mana legendary creatures that are one of each color.
Yeah.
I think, like, if you can get the mana to be fixed, then that it's going to be a fucking house on turn three. I think that'd be cool. I mean, it'll be hard to get there, but when it does, it'll be really, really exciting to play a deck like that. Yeah. I don't know what kind of creatures they have coming out right now, but the ones that use all three colors, besides, like, the one legendary creature, but all those things are usually a lot bigger. They usually take, like, six fucking mana to get there.
Yeah, but I guarantee you're gonna see a lot more Painlands being played once this comes out, because I mean that's the only way to fix your, besides Mana Confluence, but Painlands are a little bit, I think in my opinion, if you're playing like two colors, is a lot better to run Painlands than it would be.
I still think Mana Confluence, pick them up now.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. If you don't have like four Mana Confluences and you do plan on playing competitive standard, you probably should at least get like two.
I think two is a good number. You should have two. Just like you should have had two Mutavaults, you should now have two Mana Confluence.
Yeah, and at least
if not more.
Hot sauce opinion. That's it.
And they're a little inexpensive right now, and I do believe they'll probably go up if they're like really like a standard like four of in every deck. Then they're going to jump up probably another $10.
If anything, they're just going to remain at $10.
Yeah, it's not going to go below the $9 or $10 it's at right now.
Oh,
so you're going to be safe to. I mean, until it rotates out. But I mean,
Sylvan Caryatids
for the next like 6 months or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what are those $7 right now? I mean, that's or maybe less. It's a safe buy though. Just get it. They're going to be.
Oh yeah, Sylvan Caryatids and Coursers. I think we already talked about this, but get your fucking Sylvan Caryatids and Coursers now. Four of. Who cares what the price is? Because they're going to be around for a long fucking time.
Yeah, and then they're also. I'm guessing that. Courser, is there anything modern playability in that? Maybe?
Courser of Prufix is actually
one of in.
I do believe Jun plays a few, or they were experimenting with it. I don't know if it's actually found its home in Jun, but it's definitely on the fringe.
I wouldn't be surprised if it finally made its way into Modern eventually, you know? It's just that good of a fun card.
It is like one of the best cards in Standard right now.
Yeah, I expect if something gets unbanned, or they ban like Pod, Birthing Pod, or Splinter Twin or something like that, if they ban one of those more popular decks, or even Affinity, then you might see it. See more play, because I think green's like just waiting in the wings to get out there. And
hell yeah, it is. Right?
And also, like, I think if Garruk Apex Predator is going to see any play, there's going to be four Caryatids and four Coursers.
Absolutely. You got to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mana Ramp is definitely an important part of that deck.
Any other spoilers we got from...
We actually do have, let's see, Jeskai Elder, one in a blue... For a 1/2, so very exciting.
Is that the dual deck, guys?
Yeah, this is the dual deck, but, I mean, obviously, he's going to be
He's in the set. It's a Jeskai.
with a new ability? Keyword? What the fuck? Mechanic?
It's a mechanic. Yeah, mechanic.
It's prowess.
I like this mechanic.
Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
And it's in blue. And what does blue have a lot of?
Yeah, none.
What's Jeskai again?
I think Jeskai is blue, white.
Red, I think. No, blue, no. Black. Blue, black, white?
God, get your facts
straight. Yeah, we don't even know. I think blue, black, white.
Somebody out there knows.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're yelling at their fucking car radio right now.
I don't even know the names yet. Like, I know Jeskai and, like... Mardu or something. I know the one they're punching bears. That's it.
Bear puncher.
That's my colors.
Do you need assistance?
Hey, you. and it also says whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. So it's just cool to see the new mechanic, this card. Who knows if this particular card is going to be good. It's uncommon, so just...
Yeah, I just like the mechanic a lot. Yeah, they're going to have that mechanic on a bunch of other things, I'm sure.
So. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's like the clan's mechanic whatever. Also, another mechanic that was spoiled a little bit ago is Raid. And I think it's going to be I don't know if Mardu is a fucking...
I think it is.
Is a clan? I don't know.
I think that's like the red, black...
That's the speed.
White, or whatever it is.
In the speed and versus cunning, yeah. That's the speed one. So anyways, this Mardu Heart Piercer, 3 and a red for a 2-3. It has raid. Whenever it enters the battlefield, if you attacked with a creature this turn, do something. So, in this instance, when Mardu Heart Piercer enters the battlefield, if you attacked with a creature this turn, it deals 2 damage to target creature or player.
That sounds great.
So, yeah.
It'd be better if it... Well, it wouldn't be better. Would.
So, it's really
one... Pre-combat would be sick, to take something out and then attack, but you know what? Whatever.
But you can also finish him off.
You can also finish him off, correct.
So, it looks like this is really... They want you to attack. You know, they're pretty much saying... Not forcing, but you know what I mean. Encouraging you to
attack. It's a little 2-for-1, but not... No, it's a 1-for-1. No, it's a 1-for-1. Sacrifice, you're going to have a creature die, probably, to finish off.
Yeah.
It's okay, though. It's all good.
And I'm not sure if we talked about it last time, but Morph is coming back.
Oh, yeah, Morph. That is a confusing mechanic. Well, not
so
confusing, but it's...
I read...
Local scientist, Night City, please explain more.
Well, according to ancient lore... basically, I don't think Morph uses the stack.
This is a returning mechanic, by the way.
This is a returning mechanic. Morph doesn't use the stack, so when you flip it, it's like it instant, super instant, ultra, mega speed. But pretty much, you pay 3 colorless, and you put the fucking card upside down, and it's a 2-2. Colorless, 2-2. And then...
It's a bear. With no color, it's an albino bear.
And then you pay its morph cost.
You pay the morph cost, and you flip it, and it does something when you flip it. Basically. So,
in a nutshell.
For instance, let's look at Thousand Winds for 4 blue-blue. It's a creature elemental. It's a 5-6. Has flying. So the morph cost is 5 blue-blue. When Thousand Winds is turned face up, return all other tapped creatures to their owner's hand.
And it's instant speed.
Instant speed.
Anything, anytime, anywhere.
Yeah. And it... I was listening to a podcast. I don't...
Can you respond to it, though? So it doesn't use the stack when it morphs?
Yeah, it doesn't use the stack, so I don't know exactly how it works.
Motherfucking Blood Rush.
I remember, because I was listening to this... I think it was Monday Night Magic or something like that, and they were talking about, it was confusing then. So it's still kind of confusing now.
No, Blood Rush is still on a stack.
Yeah.
Even though it's, can't be countered, it's still, on a stack, right? It's
Yeah.
We can still kill the creature before it damages.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of crazy.
So, yeah, I'm not really sure, but all I know is my Drowning Sorrows are having a boner right now.
Because of tutus.
Because tutus.
There's a lot of the shit that you just read a card like that where enters the battlefield, or the one that, what's the hell's the new mechanic, the raid one?
Raid.
Where it comes out and does 2 damage or something like that. There you go, 2 damage. Everything's 2 damage. 2 damage,
yeah.
2 damage, 2 damage. Even that we played today was the, that enchantment.
The
plus
night,
2
night
plus
fire.
0.
Oh.
The plus 2 plus 0 enchantment, and then
you
can pay 1 red sacrifice and do 2 damage or something.
And then the Nightfire Giant.
And that's 2 damage
two
or something.
Damage.
Yeah, everything's 2 damage.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got some interesting things on the horizon. I'm really interested for rotation.
Spoiler season is going to be awesome, because it's I love the new, expansion sets are always awesome. And then fucking rotation's going to be so sweet.
And the first expansion in a block is, always the most awesome,
It's always, it's the smallest of the sets, right?
Well, actually...
one of the smaller card pools to get from.
Well, this one, they're going to do big, small, big.
As I say, wasn't Theros... No, this one's going to be 250 cards still, I think, right? The next one that comes out, Cons, are 270 cards or something.
Well, they're
going to
do big set, small set, big set.
So 250, 150, 250 is probably
going to
be.
Something
like
that,
yeah, roughly.
So, but they're going to, what they did with Theros, which I heard, they kind of... I guess Mark Rosewater puts out, who isn't he, the lead dude for
designing?
He's
the lead designer.
So he put out, a little State of the Union, if you will, about, what they did right, what they did wrong, kind of a look back on the year or whatever, or the last block.
I thought Theros was badass, so whatever he says.
I enjoyed Theros.
Well, he said, they kind of fucked up on Born of the Gods, just because it was... a boring continuation of Theros.
Yeah, know? It didn't really add anything. Like, it added what? Like, Inspire?
Courser.
That was not... Well, I mean,
you're talking about,
like, mechanic-wise, gameplay-wise.
Inspired, and then Tribute.
And there wasn't that many Inspire. Like, and Tribute was a complete, like, just washover.
Yeah,
like, nobody,
Tribute sucked, dude.
Nobody played Tribute.
Tribute sucked. That fucking Mythic 5/5 flyer for 4 mana... Remember that thing at all?
No.
That Phoenix that came out? That
was yeah.
I was like, I was reading that, I'm like, that's badass. And I'm like, but wait, fucking Tribute's going to make it worse. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Well, the thing with Tribute is, like, it lets the opponent choose what he wants best for him.
What's best for him, exactly. Jesus.
If it was, like, something you didn't have really, like, an option to do, like, oh, you get screwed, and then it'd be, like, it'd probably be too broken, but... There's only one good Tribute card, and that was the red green fanatic.
That didn't even get play.
And like, he wasn't even all that great. Like,
people tried it for a week. They're like, all right, let's see your red green monsters. Let's go and put this in there. No. Let's take it out.
That's the only Tribute mechanic that was like, okay, like either one of these are probably pretty bad for the opponent.
And of course, it came out the same set, so that's not good.
Yeah.
And it's a 3 mana, so anyways.
So yeah, but he said, you know, they kind of screwed up on Born. They should have just kept monstrosity going and, like, not done Tribute and done it, like, in another set or something.
Yeah.
So, the fuck were we talking about?
I don't know. It's getting dark in here, dude.
Yeah, it's fucking getting scary. I'm
talking about cons.
I'm izquierda.
But yeah, for what little spoilers we have from cons, I'm just really excited about the Wedge Color set, or this expansion. I don't know if they're going to do Wedge Color throughout the whole expansion sets, all 3 of them, but I think for sure this one.
I hope they do. I hope they have a little support there.
Yeah. But I'm excited to get, like, commander stuff, because, like, you know, you're going to get all these cool commander colors I don't think that they've had before.
Well, like, I hope that they do, like, the other, you know, tri-colors in the second set, or maybe they'll do it, like, in the last set, since that's going to be a big set. Who knows? But hopefully we get, like, more.
I'm ready for the dragons. I want some dragons.
Remember, they're all dead. How they can they?
Well, I think what people are speculating, it's gonna be like whatever the cons is like after, like, you know, after dragons, right. And then they're gonna go back in time with the other sets. Like, this was like life when dragons ruled the skies.
I want zombie dragons. Damn it!
Yeah. I want zombie dragon riders.
Dragons.
But anyways, Game of Thrones. Go.
So, yeah, that's really, I think, all the things that have been spoiled. It's just cool to see the new mechanics, but other than that, I don't think we have too much spoiled from it. And
they'll be spoiled soon.
And then
soon.
From the Vault Annihilation, doesn't look all that great.
So, today, Mr. Knife and I did a little draft on Modo. And I've never drafted on Modo. I mean, I should have, right? What's wrong with me, right? I don't know why I've taken so long, but... He talked me into it. I said, all right, here's my $15, you motherfuckers. And I drafted, like, a red-black. I ended up pulling that one. We're just saying that one.
Nightfire Giant.
Yeah, exactly. So I got that, and I got some other good support stuff. And I'm like, all right, we're going there. I got 3 of those crows, those 2/2 flyers come intact for 3
Carrying crows, or is that the one that does 3 damage?
No, it's just the 2/2.
Okay.
Yeah, so got that, and some other... I got a lot of removal spells. You know, red and black's, like, all the removal ever. So, anyways, we're doing that, and I lost the first... Well,
tell them, you know, about game one. What happened game one?
Yeah, game one, I played against this boss of a fucking deck. It was a blue-green deck, and this guy had, like, synergy up the ass. I can't even really remember exactly what it had in it, but it was blue-green. If you pair him up, I guess, like, right now, N15...
He had 2 Chasm Skulkers?
Yeah, Chasm Skulkers, the squid guy that every time you draw a card, then he puts a +1 counter on him, and then when he dies, however many counters are on him, that's how many
squids
come out or whatever. I think Island Walk squids also.
Yeah,
the Island, so, Island Walk.
They have that. So he brings this thing out. He fucking divinations right afterwards, whatever, drawn more stuff. He has... asphyxiate or whatever, and he...
Asphyxiate.
Or whatever the hell it is. The one that taps down, once it is not untapped during your untapped step, and activated abilities cannot be activated.
Encrust.
Encrust, thank you. He had that. I mean, he had, like... And I was yelling at you. We were on Skype, and I'm yelling at him, like, this guy has everything! He had Hornet Queen.
Yeah, Hornet Queen.
He had two of the Chasm Skulkers or whatever. He had... I don't even know. This guy was un-fucking stoppable because every card he had crazy synergy with everything else. It was fucked up. He had the artifact. It's a 2-mana artifact that you pay 4 and tap it, and you can tap down target creature.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those, which fucking limited, man. God damn.
Dude, that's like a flashback to fucking, what was it?
Is that
Pearl of the Gods when you were fucking tapping down shit?
Yeah. It's like
Perilous Vault or something?
Something like that.
Like that.
So, no, not that one. That's, no, that's the exile all the ones.
Okay.
Either way, I had that, and then that's an artifact, so then he had those 2-3 flyer, 2-3 guys that give flying if you control an artifact.
Oh,
he had just all this stuff that every time he borrowed a card, I'm like, oh, that reacts to 2 different things. Great, that's fantastic. So I lost 0-2, like no, I just lost my ass in that one. The next one, I played a blue-white deck, and same thing with him. He had crazy synergy going on with that shit. That pissed me off. I went 0-2 with him.
No, he had Raise the Alarm into Triplicate Spirits.
Yeah, he had two Triplicate Spirits.
It was funny because he's like, oh, he just did Raise the Alarm. I was like, watch out for Triplicate Spirits, and then he like cast it right after.
Yeah, exactly. Turn 3 or turn 4 or whatever.
He went the Convoke deck.
He had two of the 2-3 guys that if you have an artifact, it gets flying. And then he had the artifact that he had the artifact equipment that if you attach it to the creature and that creature does combat damage, you draw a card.
Rogue's Gloves.
So he had that. And I'm like, man, everything has fucking synergy. Just pissing me off, man. It's just pissing me off big time. And then he had... What else? Oh, he convoked into that angel where the power and toughness are equal to how many creatures you control.
Oh, the white promo.
One once for days and that. I'm like, God damn, dude. So I had that. And then myself and Knife, he'll talk about his here pretty soon, but myself and Knife, we both lost our first 2 games because we suck. And so we played against each other. And I won round 1 from a Lava Axe, of course.
Dude, I was so upset because during the draft we were talking and he's like, oh, hey, Lava Axe. I was like, dude, get that Lava Axe. Like, I've won so many games just like with that last 5 points of damage. And they Lava Axed me. I was like, you son of a bitch.
I told you to get it.
Yeah.
So I had that and I got him game 1. Game 2 was, we were pretty well matched. We were dirtling. We were just kind of like drawing cards and just throwing shit out there. We weren't attacking a lot of the game, whatever. But at the end, he had that 4-3 guy that you pay 2 life and make it flying. So he's at 5 life. He's like, well, I got to get over your shit because you have ground guys. I'm going to go ahead and just whatever. I'm not going to win without this. So I had 8. He had 8 life. He attacked me with his 4-3 in the air. So he went down from 5 life to 3. I went down from 8 life to 4. And so on my turn, I had the sorcery with Convoke for 7 mana. Do 4 damage to target creature or player, you gain 4 life. So I was like, oh, I have you. Sweet, right? He is down to 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So I fucking start. I had 6 lands and 2 creatures. I ended up tapping all 6 of my lands, whatever. And I don't understand Modo, barely. I suck at Modo. So I'm tapping down the lands, and then I try to like tap down the frog for Convoke, and it won't let me yet. So I click on like the 7 mana sorcery, and then it allows me to like click on the frog or some kind of weird order of tapping down stuff. So then I tap down the 2-3 frog, and then I the fucking spell resolves, and then I end up killing the frog.
Oh, you clicked the flag too many times.
I clicked it too many times. And then the frog disappears, and I'm like, what the fuck happened? What the fuck happened? I had you. I had 4 damage on your 3 life.
I was laughing so hard.
It just happened, and then it goes away because we're on Skype the whole time, so we're not talking about what cards we have, but. I was going to win, so I'm like, yeah, I'm totally going to kill you. And he's like, oh, you have that one. Okay, I got you. And he's like, all right, good game. And then I end up killing my fucking frog. Oh, my God, dude. And then, of course, on the swing back, he would have killed me, but he had a little sympathy.
I was like, go ahead and attack, dude. Like, if this was paper magic, like, you can't fuck that up in paper magic.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You fucking had me. So
yeah, I just don't know how to use fun.
It's definitely not the most intuitive system.
I was fucking stuffed up. So in my other games, I was same thing over Skype, just fucking screaming and cussing at.
God damn, I fucking F2'd over.
Yeah, F2'd over this shit, motherfucker. Like all kinds of stuff, or like the 4-3 flyer, you pay 2 life. I would like go into. I would go past the cast instants and sorceries on my attack phase, and then he goes like, oh, declare blockers. I'm like, no, I don't declare blockers. I still need to pay 2 life. I'm now and then we're going to trade with some of those ground guys because I didn't fly over them. Oh, my God, I was fucking things up. Oh, another thing I fucked up, I used that same 7 mana guy, the 7 mana, do 2 damage or do 4 damage to a creature or player, gain 4 life. I did it on... it was a wall that you pay 1 green, sacrifice a wall, draw a card. I targeted him, the wall with it, so he just sacked it. And so I couldn't.
So
I didn't target anything. I didn't gain life. I'm like, what is wrong with me right now? Why am I messing up right now?
All the plays.
Oh my God. It's just so bad.
Yeah, like the first. I, I'm Yeah, if this is your first time on Moto, like, really, like, I fucked
there's
up a lot.
There's a large learning curve, like, yeah. when it comes to Moto.
I haven't played Draft, so I have my decks on Moto. I play those, I know how to play them, I know when to attach auras and all this stuff and get in with my damage and all this nonsense, but now that I'm drafting and playing unique stuff, and then Convoke, I never played Convoke on Moto, so I don't know how the hell that works out. My God, dude, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
I got one bone to pick before you get into your shit.
Go ahead.
I fucking cannot stand on Moto that every time a window pops up, it's in a different place, in a different size.
Oh, my God.
It's upside down. It's fucking sideways. It's, like, unreadable. It's in Japanese. Like, what the hell?
This it restarts shit, your computer.
Yeah, dude. Like, it is pissing me off that, like, the thing pops up for the one red creature, that the one mana, 1/1. When you attack, you get to pay one red and tap down, and one of the things can't block. The fucking stack... little whatever
spring
pops up. The trigger pops up, covers up everything. It's like the biggest. It's the biggest print. Biggest. Seriously, it's like a third of the screen is this big square. I'm like, the other triggers are normal, and it covers up their creatures. I have to drag the box, shrink it down. It is. I'm like,
no, it's not,
how are there not standard resolutions for all these things? They pop up everywhere. When you have, like, I've seen on videos, like, when Courser or Crucifix has his, like, yep. top card or whatever, it goes over, like, their opponent's board in some other weird size. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? And you don't even see the whole card. Like, it just, like, shrinks it to, like, you only see part of the card or something.
Yeah.
I am fucking tired of beta or whatever.
It's not beta anymore.
Version 4.
That's release, baby.
Pissing me off, dude. Anyways, move on. That's my rant. Move on to your draft day, sir.
That's one of the major things that pisses me off, too, that, like, you can't, like, you resize it, and then why can't it just stay the way you resized it?
Hey, that's a
next
big
time
thing
it
too.
Triggers, or the next game it triggers, and then it goes back. It's fucking horrible.
Fucking disaster, man.
So, I went ahead and drafted. I forced Dimir. I forced Black Blue.
Of course, you did.
Of course, because I can't.
Blue and M15 is so good.
No, it's really good.
You know what?
No, it's not. It's terrible.
If nobody else is drafting blue, and you get some really good black cards, then the
no, it is. If you don't draft,
like,
it, yes.
Yeah, then the blue tempo, you can just pick whatever you want. Then it's really good.
I'm kind of fond of blue white.
Yeah, and then blue green is all right. You know, because you bounce stuff, and then your big creatures get through. Anyways, so pack one, pick one. I pick the Jarabuski Merc Lurker or whatever.
That's our word.
The Merc Lurker?
Yeah, the Merc Lurker. So it's the 1/3, and if you control a swamp, it gets +1/+1, and then you can give something lifelink. So, like, pack one, pick one. That's, you know, pretty ballsy of going into pretty much a two-color card like that. But it paid off. You know, I got two.
He says it paid off.
Yeah.
Why would you say it paid off?
It paid off. It paid off in 0/3.
You got eighth place.
It paid off in spades. I got...
Let me tease you for a little bit, man. Wow. I was terrible. I was worse than you, I'm just saying.
The coral, two coral barriers, which is pretty good. I had a Scuttling Doom engine that was pack two, pick one.
Did it come out, though?
I got other to game? Play it. In two games, I want to say. What else did I get? I got two of those. Convoke, do 4 damage, get 4 life. And that fucking Stormtide Leviathan. Man, that's expensive.
I gave that to you, by the way. That was nice. one of my packs that came by me or whatever.
Yeah, and that's nice because, like, you know, nobody's going that blue. You know, if you are in blue, you're not going that blue. Because it's like three... It's 5 blue, I think, or something stupid like that. But anyways, if you can resolve that thing fucking wins games. Like, when I actually resolved it, the guy was on a 2-turn clock, and he just had nothing to interact with it. So, I had that. I had some other good shit, Typhoid Rats and Sign of Blood and some other shit. But, you know, I just couldn't get there, but that is... That's I like that deck. I like the tempo kind of wait till I get to 6 mana and you're fucked.
Yeah,
sort of deck.
You did have a good. You had a good strategy going.
Yeah, I had. I also stole a Nightfire Giant, which I'm sure Hot Sauce would have loved to have.
Yeah, because you weren't playing red, so it didn't even.
Yeah,
it was a 4. It was a 4/5, whatever.
It was a 4/3 or 4/5.
Three, four, four, five.
Yeah. But Yeah, I had some other good stuff, but it just I could not get there.
I didn't tell the best part of this, though.
What's the best part?
Stab wound.
Stab wound. The fucking stab wound. Stab wound.
I put stab wound on his 1-3 defender.
Yeah.
And so he's a negative 1-1. And he comes out, and Corey's like, yeah, whatever. So he said it over the yeah, sky. He's like, whatever, no big deal. Fucking won me the game.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I just brought all my creatures, didn't attack one time during the game until the final, the Love Axe or whatever, probably.
Yeah.
Was it that game?
I forget which one it was.
Either way, it was just like, it was stab wound the whole time. I didn't attack. I brought out 3/3s and 5/3s and whatever else I could bring out and just sat there and just tried to protect my life total.
Yep.
And stab wound brought him down the whole way.
It probably did, you know,
20, 18 damage?
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
I know Reich here hates stab wound.
I hate stab wound.
But it's the best.
Like, yeah, I think every time I've played draft with Hot Sauce, he's stab wounding me.
I double stab wound one of his buddies.
Yeah.
And that was he was pissed.
Was it Dan?
No, it was, okay, what, I was gonna say, was it? Been it was, awesome. I don't remember who the hell it was.
Yeah.
Anyways, he was like, get the fuck out of here, dude. He's trying to attack into my shit, and like, yeah, we trade and we do some of this stuff, but once again, if I just don't attack, then we're good to go.
All right, so you said you had a new deck for us. It's not your deck, though. It's a deck you've seen, you've touched, you've
felt. I'm going to claim it as my own.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. It's not mine. No, I wanted to talk about it because it seemed pretty interesting. And I like seeing the post-rotation like come together.
Right.
Post-rotation, when you see it, you're like, I don't know. That's like the best you can do, I guess. But this one seems all right. So it's a...
It's set up so it's not going to be hit by post-rotation.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Nothing here is...
Disclaimer though, because this may not even be a lot of these post rotation decks, because we don't know what anything in of really of cons, so this may
true
not even,
that true
may
that.
Not even work.
Yes, exactly.
For now, like as the picture that we have now, this is what we're going on.
Oh, what was that? Yeah, so it's a mono blue, basically like aggro deck. I'll just go through the list and then we can talk about a couple things. So for creatures. Well, how about this? Land, 17 islands, 2 Nykthos, and 3 Radiant Fountains, which is like the gain 2 life things, whatever.
Yeah.
we have 4 of the Chasm Skulkers,
right,
which are the 1/1s, get a +1 counter every time you draw a card, which is good for blue, because you draw a lot of cards. We have 4 Master Waves, of course.
Of course.
4 Quicklings, which are the 2/2 flyers.
I love that fucking card. So good.
So, you can already see Quickling and, like, Master Waves. That's sick, right? Mm-hmm. He has 2 Hall of Triumph in here. So, if they can stick around, you bounce it, bring it back next turn. That's beautiful. 2 Thassas, of course. And then 4 Trident Shorestalkers, which is the 1/1 unblockables. So, that's going to be good for Bident of Thassa, which he has 2. He has 2 Dictate of Krufix. The 2 Hall of Triumphs, like I said. 3 Dissolve. He has 3 Hour of Need, which is a beautiful card. That's the one that turns into 4/4.
That's a nice
4/4 Sphinx with Strive.
That's right.
So you can turn all your shit into 4/4 Sphinxes. So get all your little tokens, turn them into 4/4 Sphinxes. That's badass.
That's going to be replacing Rapid Memorization for the blue decks.
We have 3 Polymorphist's Jest, which turns everything, all your opponent's creatures, into 1/1 frogs until end of turn.
Okay.
So... and then let me get through the rest. So we have Void Snare, which bounces a non-land permanent into their hand, which can be used on your own.
Yeah.
Just like a bounce spell for all your other stuff for your Master Waves. And 2 Jace the Living Guild Pact. Jace the Living Guild Pact, from what it seems like, it's like not meant for control anymore. It's just like meant for the scry and for bouncing back shit into the hand. So it's not going to be like a little bit of tempo stuff. It's a little faster. It's not supposed to be used to like, I don't know, it's not supposed to be used like super late game, really. Mm-hmm. It just seems like you can play it on turn and kind of use it as that one that... What's the one from Ravnica?
The Architect of Thought?
Yeah, see, I feel like it's something kind of like that a little bit, so...
You mean
the other one. So anyways, I see like a couple of combos with it, like Master Waves and Hall of Triumph, duh. And then Void Snare, Bouncing Back Master Waves, Our Need for the Elementals... And then Quickling, of course, for Master Waves. And then Bident of Thassa with Polymorphous Jest. You can turn all their shit into 1/1s on your main phase, and then on their main phase, because it's instant speed or whatever. And then with Bident, the shit that never gets used is 2 mana, tap it, and then all their creatures have to attack. So now they're going to be, they have to attack with a bunch of 1/1s. So no matter what you have, you're either going to trade or kill them. Nice. And that's like a sweet, sweet little combo. And then you have all your tokens, of course, to react with the Bident to draw you a bunch of cards.
Does this list run Aether Spout?
No, I would. I mean, I totally would.
Aether Spout, I think, is a great card.
I lost my first game that the green blue guy in the draft, he Aether Spouted me. I attacked for game, and he put everything back in my deck. So yeah, I lost. So I thought it was a pretty sweet sweet deck. I hope there's some stuff that comes out that makes it a little bit better, but I do think that this shit is going to be pretty fucking good, and it's like on curve, and I don't know, it feels real good. I think Master Waves is a beast, and the mono blue right now is just like just to get to Master Waves.
Yeah.
So now there's just, here's other ways to get to Master Waves, no big deal. So that's pretty much it.
I like it. I approve. Post-rotation approval stamp.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. That fucking Hall of Triumph Master Waves, Jesus Christ.
That's a good, I like that little synergy.
Mm-hmm. And then that Quickling, we were mentioning it. I mean, that thing is 2/2 flyer for 2 mana.
Dude, every
and
time.
You want to bounce stuff back to your hand. You can, like, it's flash, so you can, like, oh, my shit's going to die. Or you're going to just, like, do a block or whatever. Yeah. Bring it back out again.
Dude, every time I'm drafting, like, you know, my blue-black tempo, I always pick that up. Because it's like, oh, Coral Reef or Coral Barrier or fucking something else that, you know, the 3/5 that, you know, you can exile something, gain life. So I'm a fan of the card. All right, well, this week's Noob's Knowledge is going to be Modo for the beginner.
For the burps.
This week's...
Herp, derp, and burps.
Yeah. This week's Noob's Knowledge is going to be Modo for the beginner. So, okay, first of all, Modo is a direct representation. The, you know, paper magic. It costs $10 to get, and...
You have to start an account, and the account costs $10, and with that $10, you get... I believe a certain amount of what they call phantom points, and you get like a little bit of a starter packs or something like that.
You get like you know, some very basic crap cards,
some very basic
deck
stuff.
Builders type set. They have deck builders, which I'd probably recommend just getting if you're just starting out in Magic. If you've been playing for a year or something like that, and you already kind of know what decks you're going to build, okay, don't buy the deck builders.
But the deck builder was like $5.
The deck builder was $5. Why the hell
not? It's not a huge price. But yeah, definitely Modo is a pretty much Paper Magic, just in a digital form.
And it is definitely cheaper than Paper Magic.
Well, relatively.
Mostly because whatever's top 8-ing it right now, then it's going to go up, because the top 8 stuff is like different on, like, people, the decks that win, hit the top 8 or whatever on Modo are different than hit and paper. Even though they don't have to be different, for some reason they just are, so the prices go up, because the cheaper, like, mono red shit is more popular on Modo, because people don't want to pay a whole lot digitally or whatever, so that shit actually goes up. Their whole idea of, like, well, we're going to go cheap, actually sometimes can kind of fuck them a little bit, because they start... Those are the cards that go up in price fast.
Yeah. Well, the economy on there moves very quickly.
Yeah, since trading is free and open to every person that plays, and there are things that they call bots, which will trade with you at any time of day, pretty much, for either tickets, which is their currency on Modo, or for actual cards.
Yeah, so a ticket's a dollar. When you sign up, you're not going to have any tickets or nothing like that. You're just going to have phantom points. Phantom points, we mentioned... They're going to allow you to do drafts,
the new player drafts and everything like that.
But you're not going to keep your cards. There's some rare instances where you can, but you're not going to keep your cards. But you're able to draft, see how the draft format works. If you haven't done it before, a lot of people when you start playing, you're not able to draft. You know what I mean? If you're just playing casually, buddies learning how to play the game, you might not draft for the first, you know, 5-6 months or whatever playing. So this is a good way to get in and learn what cards to select and everything like that. And the Phantom, like I said, you can't keep it, but it's a good way. It's kind of cool that they're like, well, let's just show you how to do it.
Yeah, I definitely recommend at least doing one of the Phantom drafts just before you even consider doing an actual real money
free,
draft.
Why not?
Because it is free. I mean, you're not going to keep the cards, but you're going to get the experience of how to use the interface and what it's going to look like and what the feel of like actually clicking on a card to draft it, as opposed to like just like selecting it. Because I think the left click will allow you to actually select the card when you click on it when you're drafting, and the right click will actually highlight it. So like they
reserve
it. It reserves it. So, like, say, because you on Moto, you only get, like, just in real life driving, you only get a certain amount of time to pick each card. But on Moto,
it's a minute or 50 seconds.
Like,
or
it depends on the pick. Yeah, so it starts out like a minute or something. And
yeah, your first pick at least a minute, and then it continues to diminish as the picks go on. So usually what you do is right-click on a card that you're on the fence about, so in case you do run out of time while you're thinking, then you'll actually get that card as opposed to just a random pick card that the Moto gets you.
There you go.
But you got to be aware of, because like when I first draft, like I thought the reserve button was a left-click, and I accidentally clicked like on some crappy common and like passed a mythic or something like that.
Yeah, that's sick.
Or something stupid. But yeah, it's definitely a good learning experience for the new players, since you do get those Phantom Points for free. Another big thing with Moto is definitely before you do consider like putting money into it or like, you know, playing the drafts, is definitely get through some like casual games in either the casual rooms or anything like that with either like, you know, just a pre-made deck.
Yeah, it's called Just for Fun.
Yeah, like just the, for casual.
There's like different levels just for fun and tournament
practice.
So just so you can like understand what the interface does, what it looks like, how the turns go, what are the different steps, like, you know, how it actually puts stops or stops on the your opponent's turn or your turn on the different parts of the what's the word I'm looking for? Not the stack, but the phases. The different phases, and just kind of how you expect like the triggers to look, and like how the triggers interact with the stack, and what the stack actually looks like in a digital representation. Because I mean, when you're playing Paper Magic, you have it in your head if you know what the stack is, and you kind of understand a little bit like how it works in your head. But when you actually see it on like a digital representation, it can kind of be confusing.
You got to be a little more perfect with it too. You can't be like, oh, yeah, but I wanted to do that. None of that shit happens anymore.
Yeah, on Moto, there's not a lot of safeguards. It's more they kind of throw you into it thinking that you already know what a lot of the interactions
will do. Absolutely no tutorial at all.
There's no safeguards saying like if you want to like cast a spell on something, it's not going to be like, are you sure you want to do this? It's just going to go ahead and do it if you paid the mana for it already.
Yep.
It's not going to say
there like, it is on the stack, you know, and you just look at that little box. And you go, no.
Yeah, and it's already too late. And then things happen. But yeah, I mean, definitely get, I'd say, a week. I mean, give it a week of just playing casual games or like, you know, the Phantom Drafts or what have you, just to get accustomed to the digital representation of the game. And then at that point, you can go ahead and branch out into like the actual money tournaments where you actually pay tickets to enter and actually can win prizes. You can actually win packs online, which you can then exchange for more tickets through bots or other players and everything like that, or actually, you know, trade value cards for tickets to re-enter drafts or, you know, do different events.
So let's talk about draft a little bit. You recommend Swiss.
I definitely recommend Swiss.
For the new players, I would 100% recommend Swiss.
Because there's other type of drafts where it's single elimination, so the first match you lose, you're out, and you don't get to play anymore.
Yeah, so essentially, if you play what they call 8-4-mans, pretty much when you lose that first game, if you lose it, you lose that 24 tickets. You're out of you get your cards that you drafted, but you're out of playing. That's it. Like you get one shot.
24 tickets.
High risk, high reward.
However many tickets it costs to
high tenor. Risk, high reward. Though, if you fucking think you're that good, get in there because then you can win the most.
Yeah, because those are the what they call the best value if you're actually proficient at it, because you get the biggest. So if you get first prize or first place, you'll get the biggest prize out of all the other draft formats. But Swiss allows you to kind of screw up and still actually get to play three rounds of Magic. Or four, is it four rounds?
Three rounds.
It's three rounds.
Well, depending. Well, no, maybe not. I don't know.
Three rounds of Magic. And you can potentially, if you lose like your first match, you're not going to be out, and you can actually play the second round, and you could maybe even win that second game or that second round and actually win a pack back or some kind of, some reward for your efforts, as opposed to just losing right out and, you know.
Yeah, I went 1-2, kind of. Kind of 0-3, kind of 1-2. But no, I went 1-2. And I got one booster pack of M15. So the Swiss 8 that I played today, it was, you need to get three booster packs of whatever format you're playing, which we played triple M15. So you have to get your packs. You can buy them for $3.99 off of the store that's built into Moto, or you can go to one of the bots, and then they have the prices
be different. Yeah, I would definitely recommend buying tickets from the store and then using those tickets to buy packs from the bots, because they'll be at least, you know, 20, 30, 40 cents cheaper.
I think today I bought them for $3.25, I think, something like that, $3.30.
And another thing with the tickets, since they're all whole numbers, it's all in denominations of one. You can't, like, split, like, a half a ticket or anything like that. So it's usually good. I recommend people to find a bot that that has all the things you want to do, either whether it's modern or standard or like, you know, that just buy packs or whatever, and just stick with that one bot, because then they'll give you store credit for, like, say if you buy something that costs like 0.8 tickets, well, you know, you're going to pay one ticket no matter what, and that 0.2 of your ticket's just going to vanish into
frozen thin air. In time.
Yeah, so but the bot will pretty much store that information and say, next time you talk to that bot or trade with that bot again, it'll say, hey, you were last traded, you know, whatever, so you have 0.2 tickets left in reserve and store credit so you can put towards your next purchase.
Yeah, you kind of have to use the same ones. Otherwise, you're going to be losing a change of a dollar every time you try to buy something from somebody.
Exactly.
So you have to keep your eye out. And
there's a lot of good reputable ones out there. We'll probably won't mention them here, but you can find them online or just like do a Google search for them. I'm sure there's information everywhere for some of those bots. But yeah, definitely stick with like one or two bots mainly, or bot branches, because a lot of companies or people will run like maybe five of this. You know, the same company will run five bots, and then you get store credit with all those five bots for the different formats.
And here's a nice little tip that I didn't really know about. There's two good websites you can look at for pricing for packs or singles or whatever. MTG Goldfish.
That's a great one, yeah.
It is great. It shows you online prices, paper prices.
Naked women.
If you want, naked women.
You gotta dig deep for that one.
Yeah. It's an Easter egg in your butt. No, but you... it shows like the price history. So if it's like risen and dropped, you know,
yeah, it has an actual like months. A line chart of the how much it was in the past and present.
And then also it has
or a graph rather.
Yeah, it has a graph and all that good stuff, and it shows the different you know, printings and what price they are and everything. But also a website that is super useful is WikiPrice, or the MTGO WikiPrice. Just Google WikiPrice and MTGO. Website will pop up, and it will show you what bots are selling what cards for the cheapest, or buying what cards for the cheapest. So if you're like, you know...
For the most expensive, you mean? Buying cards for the most expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Or for the most cheapest, if you want to lose your money. Most exactly. Cheapest.
I think the old age adages is, was it sell high, buy low?
Yeah. So, definitely use that if you're going to be... looking to use some bots, because then you'll when you're looking for different cards, you'll see like, okay, well, this bot has been like in the top 10 cheapest for selling cards, so you know it must be a good bot. So it is definitely confusing. I remember when I started using Moto, I called like the Wizards hotline or whatever, and I was like, how do I trade? And they're like, well, you know, we can't really acknowledge the existence of bots, so we can't really, like, tell you
exactly how to do it, yeah.
How to interact with them. And I was like, just tell me how to trade. Like, I just don't be a dick, you know? Like, I don't have to be a dick. Tell me how to trade. So, so it's – Moto is definitely a high learning curve. So, like Reich was saying, don't just jump into paying – for lots of money drafts or, you know, high price singles or, you know, whatever. Just kind of put your feelers out and put together some crap decks and try it out.
And it might entirely be not for you.
Yeah.
That's totally a possibility, because it does take a lot of patience and dedication to actually learn the program and get into it before you even start playing any kind of competitive Magic. That's what you're into or whatever.
If you're serious, though, and you can't play casually with your buddies because you have a child, or because you have obligations and you're working 60 hours a week or whatever stops you from getting out there with the crowd, then Moto is like the only way to do it, really. I mean, that's what really forces you into that, is if you want to go ahead and spend your money, you want to get the best deck out there and go kick some ass and, you know, get like high reward out of it, then this is the way to do it, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it's a great way to practice. I mean, the best way to practice Magic.
It's the best way to practice and just... testing decks and seeing what decks are out there.
Just be careful when you do the daily events or anything like that online for like standard, because the metagame on MTGO is a little bit different than what you would see at a normal game store and that type of thing.
I also want to say, if you're looking for like a perfect program, don't play MTGO.
Yeah, it's not.
Don't play Magic.
Any stretch of the means.
Yeah. So I mean, if you know anybody who plays MTGO, I'm sure they're going to tell you about all the faults and everything. You know, it's really random, you know, the faults I find. More often than not, It doesn't happen too much anymore, but when I draft, it'll kick me from the draft, and I have to log back in real fast before, like, you know, the time runs out. So that's a real pain in the ass. Wizards is pretty good about reimbursing you when shit like that happens. But also, today, I was just trying to get... I was trying to hurry up and build a deck before these guys came over, and I was just trying to get some Garruk Apex Predators.
Yeah, Garruk, I think it's been confirmed for sure that it's Garruk. You know, yeah. I like Garruk
Apex
better.
Apex Predator.
And I wanted to trade, and I went to go drag the card and drop it into like the little box of cards I want, and it just crashed on me. And I went to go do it again, crashed on me. Went to go do it again, crashed on me. And then I finally just, I went back, okay, got the bot, okay, right-clicked on the card and hit, like, add to cards I want, and it didn't crash. So it's, like, just a little stupid stuff like that, and so, you know, just stick with it.
Patience.
Patience.
Lots and lots and lots and lots of patience.
You're sweating there, dog.
Dude, I feel, you're like, glistening. I feel glisteny. I was, like, working really hard on trying to get the cotton, and I got all frustrated. I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah, we're Vape Nation now. Vape Nation, blowing clouds all day long.
Smoke clouds.
Fucking Nimbus Naiad over here. Fucking clouds of fucking
Nimbus Naiad.
Nimbus, you know, Nimbus. The cloud.
Guess not.
It's like a cloud guy.
No, I guess not.
It's a Theros card.
I'm just an asshole.
But yeah.
So yeah, check out Moto. It's lots of fun. And if you do hop on Moto, fucking...
Who's that? Who's that? Who's there?
If you do hop on Moto, go ahead and, you know, send us some messages and we'll fucking draft with you or play with you on there.
Yeah, today when we were playing, Knife City was streaming hit the draft. I mean, only his, but still, you could hear myself and him go bicker each other. You can hear all this shit. Yeah, so it's on our website. You can go to Twitch, but... Otherwise, just go to iflandscouldkill.com, and up top there is Ilk on Twitch. Yep. Click on that, and we have all four of our streams embedded there, so you don't have to sign in, do any of the bullshit. You can just click like a YouTube video, and just check us out, and that's the easiest way to do it. That's the way I do it, even. Even though I can just click on Twitch, I just like doing it through our website.
Yeah, and I even just sometimes stream like the tournament practice room, because I've been really enjoying playing the discard deck and my mill deck. Because I know a lot of the cards.
Yeah, you guys got to see this shit.
Dude, a lot of the cards are going to rotate, so I'm just trying to get like as much fun and value as I can before rotation. So go ahead and check us out on Twitch. Send us emails or whatever if you want to know our names.
If you go to our website, on the very right bar, there is a contact Ilk, and then you can go ahead and click on that. And you can send us a mail, send us an email, and we will have it pop up on our... If Lance Could Kill Gmail, whatever the hell it is. So
sweet.
Nice simple way rather than trying to find us, whatever. You can just go to our website and post everything there.
Nice and easy for you Ilkites out there.
Yep. And I think you know what we're gonna do? I think I'm gonna throw in some wedding cast for the bloopers.
So okay, yeah. So if we're gonna cut into this is the you'll be listening to the stuff that we recorded the day of my wedding.
So when we got there in the morning, everyone brought their cards basically, and while we were getting dressed, and then we had to like wait for photos and all that stuff, we were in the hotel just like playing magic as much as possible. People were like coming in with their cameras and just take pictures of us. We're like, yeah, hold on. Let's just fucking...
We gotta finish this turn.
Yeah, we were totally just playing some shit. And then we had a recorder on the whole time. Well, most of the time. Yeah. Just recording our random bullshit that we do. So
it's probably not gonna make up like a full episode, so I'll probably just like throw it in to the end of this episode, or maybe end the next one too. And it's just fun shit. And there's a good hot sauce story in there I wanna highlight, so... It'll be fun.
Yes.
But anyways, right. You know what? That's been it for episode 13 of If Lands Could Kill.
Is it 13?
I think it's 13.
I think it's 20.
Yeah,
I think it's 50.
I wish. Yeah. I wish.
We're almost there. Almost there. We'll be there
soon. Awesome.
So, thanks for listening, guys. I'm Knife City.
This is Rick.
Hot Sauce.
And we will catch you on the flip side. Later. Dude,
Okay, I don't know why, but this morning I felt it very necessary to shave my balls. I don't know why. I looked down.
Do you want to be your best for your friend?
Yeah, I do. And I looked down, and I was like, you know, they're in no condition to be in a wedding. And I shaved them clean. They are.
I like that. You look at your balls and be like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
You're going to a wedding today.
Yeah, you need to step your game up.
Yeah, exactly.
Slap some baby powder on them, dude. They are good to go. So, Hot Sauce, there was a question from a listener on Twitter.
You know, I actually started responding, you know what? And then Kelly walked in the room and started reading the goddamn computer monitor, and I'm like, go away. I can't be funny if some girl is standing on my shoulder.
Right, right.
So, Nat, you want an answer right now?
Here we go. You know, I would like an answer. The question in question on Twitter is, it was towards you, Hot Sauce. How many times in your life have you shit outdoors, excluding when you're camping?
Right. I'm gonna disappoint you guys a little bit. I've only shit outside one time.
What?
What?
One time.
What did you use for toilet paper?
Let's back it up a little bit. Let's back it up to when we're 4 years old. Everyone's 4 years old, right? Picture that.
Okay.
And then you're in your kindergarten class, and you get newspaper, and you ball it up, and you whittle it, and you roll it, and then it breaks down the fibers and makes it soft.
Yeah.
Soft like toilet paper.
I never learned that when I was 4 years old.
We didn't go to the same school.
We didn't go to the same school. Did they teach you that?
Yeah.
Really? They're like,
I totally remember that lesson.
So you get that.
In case of emergency, they teach you how to make toilet paper?
No. It's more like they wanted you to make paper that looks like what the Indians would have used or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Like an animal skin.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like that. So you get the paper and you mash it up and you roll it up and everything. And you do that enough and it breaks on the fibers and it makes it real soft to the touch. It makes it a little thicker.
Right.
So while I was absolutely shitting my pants in an industrial parking lot, I was whittling all the stuff. Not whittling, that's the wrong thing. I was rolling up.
I think,
my ass.
If I remember correctly, we all helped you whittle.
Yes, exactly.
The magazine paper.
Yeah. We had a Ford Model T production line. Assembly line.
What magazine was it? Do you remember?
I want to say it was a Motor Trend magazine.
It was some, like, auto magazine.
I believe it was an auto magazine.
Keep it together.
And, we had a little production line going, and handed me maybe 6-7 wipes worth of paper. This whole time, I didn't want to shit where I would get it on my shoes or nothing like that.
Of course.
Or on my jeans or whatever else. So naturally. I ended up sitting on top of a 40-foot construction dumpster and shitting between the construction dumpster and a brick wall. They had about a foot gap between the two. Well, maybe less because I was up with my back against the...
Yeah.
I was sat, like, pretty comfortable.
You were, like, wedged in like a ninja.
Yeah.
It was a ninja shit.
Well, it was a ninja shit in that sense, but it wasn't in the other sense because everyone knew what was going on. There was no silence.
Yeah.
There was
no,
there was not. It was not a stealth poop.
It was not stealth. In fact, everybody was laughing incessantly.
Yeah. These are like the stories of my life. But honestly, I have actually ninjutsu. But really, though, that's about it. I mean, some people have more happen more times than that, but that's all I have.
Well, that's actually the whole reason that listener wrote in, because they wanted to hear that story. That's a good story. You don't get that all the time.
I've got better.
Oh, yeah, we've all got better, but that's just kind of breaking the ice.
Indeed.
You know, I feel like around episode maybe 50 or 100, we'll just have like a...
Story time.
Yeah, just an episode where we talk about how we all met, some good stories. But just to, like, you know, break us in, we're only at episode 14. So, or this is 14 and a half, or, like, yeah, no, whatever.
That story I just told, or we mentioned, that's allegedly... Nothing happened for sure. I heard someone did that.
Exactly. Why were you even in just an industrial park at 1 o'clock in the morning?
I wasn't.
Allegedly. Why?
Allegedly.
Why would you be?
Let's migrate down, I guess. Might as well.
When you're,
just a little podcast.
When we're not 21, you need to find places to hang out because no one has the apartment. No one's going to the bars at night. You need to find a space that's quiet and no cops can find you to do naughty things.
Exactly. I agree.
So,
I'm glad we covered that.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to note for the historians.
Absolutely.
Yes, you're right about that. So, yes, look.
Once you have your own place, you know, all those fun times go away, so do the blowjobs. I'm out.